heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
I mean, there are some weird things happening in America. The weirdest of all is the fact that we're dealing with a pandemic, a catastrophe of our lifetimes, right? Is that really the weirdest thing, or is it how the media has portrayed this and how the political elites are using it or appear to be as a tool? You know, I've been putting out there quite a bit about a lot of these governors and mayors that are really becoming tin pot dictators, if you will. It seems to be they're grabbing onto the control. And some of these stories we are hearing out there are pretty outrageous. I mean, this thing's going to do one of a couple of things here. I mean, it's going to remind Americans, which I've been talking to you about, of what the real risk is. And this whole conversation we've been having now for some time about socialism, well, people, this puts this conversation front and center, doesn't it now? You remember The Rules for Radicals? You remember that Saul Alinsky there, yeah? That book published in 1971 was the first go-around of that. And he called it a practical primer for realistic radicals. Radicals. Boy, we can see a lot of those people around. Today, I want to talk about these radicals, who they are. Call them out, if you will, if you'll allow me to show you some case studies and some stories that are happening. And also have a very interesting guest on I'm looking forward to talking to and introducing you folks to. It should be really good. Who actually, by the way, it coincidentally has a book himself that he has out to counteract these criminals, to really shine a light where people maybe haven't done that before. You see what's going on right now, this story in the last couple of days in California. In fact, it was Southern California. You see the skate park there that just got filled in with sand. It's a beautiful, beautiful skate park, very popular skate park as well. And it was filled in with sand. And when it first happened, I was wondering, what are they up to? Why would they do that? Do they not need the park anymore, the skate park? I mean, these parks are not cheap to build to begin with for the public consumption, right? Well, then what's happened is, so the city made the decision to fill it all in with sand and level it off to get back at the citizenry because the people were using the skate park in this pandemic and breaking the rules because the park, they had closed the park. And so they prohibited any gatherings whatsoever or any kids that were skateboarding, whether they're by themselves or with a group. You can't use the park. The park is closed. Well, Rose Watson, she's a spokesperson now for the City News Service. She said, we've had continuous violators. You like that word, violators, the criminals, you know? And we want them to stop, you know? We want them to follow the orders, because they are orders, people, from these little dictators. We want them to follow the orders because the skate parks are closed until further notice. It's for the health and wellness of all LA residents. And of course, these people know what's best for the health and wellness of all LA residents, right? You agree with that? Sure. And some of you might even say, well, Malcolm, you're being a little harsh here. I mean, after all, we are in a pandemic and people's lives are at risk here and they shouldn't be out there doing that stuff. Just like you've seen some of the people early on that were on the beaches in Florida. You remember that story, and everybody was going berserk. And I think people got a little pissed off at that, actually, because of this. Because some of these people were in their homes and locked up. And I think they were envious because they didn't want anybody else to have a good time. And actually, I think there's a lot of that out there, quite frankly. And I'll give you a few examples in a minute here. But I think there's a lot of that where, you know, everybody thinks everybody should be miserable right now. You know, you can't walk in the park, you can't play in the park, you can't do the park, you can't get out, don't see the sunshine, the sky is not blue. We want you to be doom and gloom and sit in your home until we tell you it's ready to come out, you damn fool. If you went out right now, just yourself, just your singular self, nobody around, so you've got plenty of social distance going on here now, right? And you walk down a busy city highway, maybe a boulevard, not so much the interstate, but you know what I mean. A boulevard, a road in the city, the town you're in. And maybe you're whistling or happy and singing a song. And, you know, you might even have an umbrella up there. It might be like one of those old classic movies, you know. And you're just having a grand old time. People would think you are out of your flipping mind. I bet you they'd call you out and ticket you. For what? Well, for having a good time. For walking. And you can't be out because you've got to be home and miserable like the rest of them, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's what I think is really going on here. And there are a lot of people sitting at home that don't like this. They don't want that visual. And clearly, I can tell you right now that the city mayors and the governors and these little people that are in power here on their power trips, they absolutely don't want it. They don't want people appearing to have a good time when, after all, there is a pandemic. And after all, people are dying. And after all, you need to be serious, Malcolm. Wake the hell up. Well, people, if we lived by that standard, we would be miserable and living in our home and businesses and doom and gloom for all of our lives, because people are always dying of something. If it isn't this epidemic, it's another one. There are epidemics all over the place. I can get into epidemics and start to tell you stories that will make you cry about epidemics. I'll give you epidemics against our law enforcement. I'll give you epidemics against drug dealers. There are so many epidemics we have, people, that nobody is addressing a damn thing about. Yeah, we don't sit home and cry over those, do we now? Those become matter of fact of life. Take a look at our homelessness. That's another epidemic, right? You see, those epidemics serve a purpose. They serve a purpose to empower the leaders, the betters. Let's call them the betters. They serve a purpose to empower the betters, because the betters know better for us, you see? They know better for you and I. And so this LA thing, the skate park in Venice now, California, they just threw all the sand in there. They got the rollers out there and they just pushed all that sand right into that beautiful park, and really to, you know, piss those little kids off. And those teenagers can't be out there having a good time or laughing or anything of the sort, whether they have the COVID or not. It's the impression, it's the appearance that they're given to other people that things are okay, that we are going to make it through, you see. And the mayor there in LA, Eric Garcetti, he, by the way, closed all the open space, grassy areas of the parks throughout the whole area. On Easter Sunday, he wanted everything closed and locked up. He didn't want anybody out there on grassy areas. Now, I love that, grassy areas. You could probably go in a dirt pond somewhere if you like, but we don't want you to have any sunshine in your life in a grassy area, you know. Then there was another story coming out of Tampa, Florida. NFL quarterback Tom Brady, you might have seen this one in the last couple of days there. Well, he was spotted working out in a Tampa, Florida park. The park was closed to prevent, again, any social gatherings, because we're social distancing, because we don't want you to be social. We want you to be antisocial. Kind of goes against everything we learned as kids, you know. We were reprimanded for being antisocial as children, but now the vectors want us to be antisocial because that's the pandemic. So while this thing is going on and they have control of the conversation, got to play by their rules. So evidently there, Tom Brady was in the park by himself, by the way. There was no gathering. There was nobody else around. It was his singular self, just him, the one human being I'm talking about here. That's some pretty good social distancing, I think, you know? Yeah. And he was doing his thing, exercising, enjoying that grassy green again that they don't want you to do in LA. Evidently, they don't want you to do it in Tampa, Florida, either. Well, the mayor of Tampa, another stooge, Jane Castor, she comes out and she spoke about what had happened at a press conference. She says, I got to tell you this story. I mean, she was really giddy about it. You know, after all, it is Tom Brady. I got to tell you this story. Now, I always tell people, I'm not one to gossip, she says. So you didn't hear this from me. Shh, shh, shh. Our parks are closed down. And so a lot of our park staff, they patrol around just to make sure that people aren't doing things like breathing and walking on that grass. What the hell's the matter with these people? Breathing and walking on the grass is against the rules. Obviously, Jane Castor would fit into the radical conversation really well. She'd fit in with Eric Garcetti and the rest of the stooges, you know? And so Tampa actually put a tweet out. They were real proud of this, by the way, to stop the famous Tom Brady. They said, sorry, at Tom Brady, our Tampa Park Rat team can't wait to welcome you and our entire community back with even bigger smiles. Until then, stay safe and stay home much as you can to help flatten that curve. Well, isn't that special? That went out on the Twitter feed. Very nice of them to put that public announcement out there. And then you hear the story in Greenville, Mississippi. Yeah, that's the one I'm sure you heard of, where the churchgoers were in the cars with the windows up. And they were at a drive-in service to listen to church. And of course, the cities and towns they don't want you to be at church. They don't want you to have church. They don't want you to hear church through the speaker. They don't want any part of church. They don't want any part of God. God is the one who created this pandemic. They figure he should not be enjoying these people, the fruits of that labor, potentially, huh? And so this was the King James Bible Baptist Church. And the parishioners were out there in the vehicles listening to Pastor Charles Hamilton, you see? And they were in the parking lot in their cars again. Wasn't no gathering or anything else. I have a photograph of it. In fact, it's right on AmericaOutloud.com. You can see that photograph. Or just Google it anywhere. We shouldn't say Google, actually, because they're another socialist group. Just go to your search engine and look it up yourself, okay? Let me read you this quote here. They park in their parking spaces. They keep their windows up, the doors closed. They never get out of their cars like the CDC recommends they do. There's no exception to the United States Constitution for a pandemic. Now, this is what Mayor Simmons has done, is to apply an order without regard to equality, and he singled out churches in particular, and this is what the church put out. This is their statement, you see? And they call out the mayor. Mayor Simmons has done this and without regard to equality, and he singled out churches in particular. And of course, there's been a lot of singling out churches and a lot of singling out God and faith, because that's one of the first things to go. Radicals love to poo-poo God, you see? So that's when they can do that, that's a high for the whole group there, you know? So the other statement they put out, the police started coming. Get a load of this now, people. How extreme. It's like I'm thinking in my mind here. It's like, you know, it's like Tom Brady in the park back in Tampa. You can see them dragging his happy ass off the field here, grass or no grass. Get out of there, Tom. You don't belong in that park. Just like they would do in L.A. with those kids. Get out of there. We're going to throw dirt in the park, and you're not coming in again, you little bastards, you know? And you can see that's what's happening over here with the church there. The police started coming up, and we said, and they surrounded the people because they were a real threat to the pandemic, a threat to freedom, their version of freedom. And so the police were surrounding them all, and they gave them $500 tickets. And the church said they gave out 20 or 30 tickets, by the way. Everybody got one, so they're fair. That's where they did apply equality. They all got a ticket. Isn't that sweet? Didn't matter what color you were, or what kind of car you were in, or who you were exactly, but you got a ticket. In fact, if there were two of you in the car, you also both got tickets. So like this dude here, him and his wife each got a ticket. So they like a double jeopardy there. And that was a double bonus. They both got tickets. Isn't that cool? All compliments of these governors and mayors and empowered people as we now use a pandemic to really crack down on things. So it's interesting to me, people, how all of a sudden now, this power trip we've been talking about, and we've been talking for a while about this whole takeover of socialism in America and where they're trying to go. It really is a version of communism, if you will. That's what the end goal is. Socialism is just a bridge. It's a means to an end, if you will. The real end goal is to create America as the new USSR, be the United Socialist States of America, be the USSA. USSA, United Socialist States of America. It's got a nice sound to it, doesn't it? USA, USA, USA. So it would be USSR, be USSA, USA, or you suck. Either one would work just fine, you know. In any event, this is what's going on here from sea to shining sea in America. So people, Americans, are now questioning this, and you're seeing the protests come up, and you're seeing that, you know, I mean, real Americans are not going to accept this. And, you know, the old saying is you give them an inch, they take a mile, right? That's the problem right there. You know, and of course, then there's always that famous quote that Rahm Emanuel put out, never let a crisis go to waste, right? Well, this is perfect for this situation because this is a pandemic crisis. This is one they can really embrace and see exactly what they can do about it. So real interesting here how the radicals now are out in broad daylight, because as I tell you all the time, there is nothing anymore in the closet in America. It is all out in the opening for public consumption now. There are no more secrets here. It's just out in broad daylight for you to embrace and enjoy, and you bring it into your homes and your families and your businesses. When we talk about these radicals and what they're doing, and they're using this pandemic, which is completely out of control, as Americans are asking, why have we locked the entire economy and the country down? And this is a perfect opportunity to remind you all of how insane this all is. You see the insanity playing out right now. We'll do that next on The Voice of a Nation.
Listen to Malcolm, The Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Now, Saul Alinsky was born in Chicago in 1909. So he actually was a young child in that pandemic back in 17, 18, and 19, quite frankly. The book published in 71, he died in 72, by the way. And so this book, though, is really a coveted book for the left socialists, the far left. They love this book. It is their Bible. It actually is their Bible here. It's what I would say to you, suggest to you. Since they don't read the real Bible, this would be what they would have in place of it. Works out perfectly for everybody, right? And so listen, there are 13 radical rules that are being played out here. I want to touch on some of these today because I think it's a great reminder to all of us people about what the risk is right now. Chris Adamo is here, and he wrote a book, which I'll tell you more about after here, Rules for Defeating Radicals. I love that. Countering the Alinsky Strategy in Politics and Culture. And by the way, he created 10 rules to combat that 13. There were 13 radical rules. But how worried are you right now? And what comes to your mind, having studied radicals and understanding the premise of Alinsky and where he's coming. You wrote the book on it. What is your biggest concern right now, Chris?
My biggest concern is the fact that we tend to play by the rules as dictated to us. One of the major premises of my book is, and I wish I could write this in stone, is that these rules of Alinsky's only work when we let it happen. The primary focus of his book, now a lot of the rules he had to do with, how do we motivate people, make it fun for them, get involved and all that. But the primary focus of his strategy is to freeze and isolate somebody, turn them into a pariah, and you destroy them. And you do that for two purposes: one, to shut them down, and the other is to scare everybody else from having anything to do with what they said, especially if it has credibility. The major premise that I keep driving in response to that only works if we let it. If I can attack you on some bogus basis and make you go on the defensive and make you embarrassed or ashamed of what you've done, and you back down and you start trying to defend yourself, that suddenly becomes the new topic of the day. Not what you were originally saying. You're on the defensive. You're trying to prove that you're not the bad guy that I say you are. And at best, if you're really successful, all you can do is break even. And that's how they've successfully attacked us. And frankly, we let them get away with it because we end up playing the game by that rule.
Chris, the people who support this, what you just said is so truthful. And it's a great place to start because they have done that so well over the last really many years, but really the last 3.5 with Donald Trump. What you just spoke about is really the definition for what's happened over the last 3.5 years, isn't it?
Absolutely. But it has been going on for quite a bit longer than that. Since Alinsky wrote his book, we've seen that. And again, the reason I felt like we got to respond to this is because our side gets in there in the ring and we try to play by Marcus of Queensbury rules. And they get in as a bunch of street fighters. And guess who's going to win in that case?
When you talk about our side, I want to talk about that a moment, please, because my antenna went up when you just said that. And I thought to myself as you were talking, Chris, like, okay, who is our side? I started thinking about that a moment here. My brain works that way. It works 100 miles a minute here. And so I'm thinking, who the hell is our side? And then I got thinking in reverse of that, Chris, on the other side of my brain, I'm thinking, okay, who are the characters that are following the radical rules? I mean, we know the little despot leaders are. We know, as I just pointed out, multiple examples in the front of the program here, there's a lot of these little creatures out there right now trying to take advantage of things. But I'm wondering, when you talk about real Americans, I mean, people who have their families to raise and businesses to run and people who genuinely care about their lives, what is it that those people, their makeup, that follow these leaders, and leaders probably the wrong word, but these little dictators who use the 13 radical rules to run their cities and towns and states, what kind of a person is that? And I really have a struggle with this, with Americans out there, these Americans who I think are dim-witted, either have a low IQ or they're just plain out dumb. I mean, and I know that sounds harsh, but I don't know what, or are they not? And I should ask you that question. Maybe they're not dumb. Maybe they don't have low IQs. Educate me, please.
But I would say you're absolutely right about that. They are not dumb. I would have to say, first of all, I want to emphasize, this is not a battle between Democrats and Republicans. And I could really expound on that at length. This is a battle between, if you want to say in the political or social sense, you want to say right and left, I don't have any problem also characterizing it as good and evil. But these people, they have an agenda that is inherently vile. And that's no exaggeration. And it's not overly harsh. It's just the facts. And we could go down to one issue after another, and you'll see that it comes down in that manner. Again, I told you that my first premise was that the Alinsky strategy only works on those who allow it. The second premise, and this one is, you have to really stand by this one because they'll try and dissuade you from it. Second one is the political left, they never truly care about any issue that they claim to champion. It's Alinsky had a quote, I wish I had it in front of me right now, but he had a quote. He said, it's not about the issue, it's always about the agenda. Every issue that they start trumpeting, you can look back and see where what they're actually doing is trying to empower themselves, whether it's sexual harassment, you know, which they'll pull out sexual harassment to destroy Justice Kavanaugh. But that wasn't about sexual harassment. That was about keeping a constitutionist off the Supreme Court. Because when you start talking about sexual harassment and abuse of women, when you start talking about Bill Clinton or lately Joe Biden, and they don't care a bit about it unless it advances their agenda. So you are talking a category of people that have a truly vile, anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-Western civilization agenda. And an agenda like that is going to only be advanced through lies and deceit.
Are they confused? The people who I just addressed, the real Americans, not the mayors, the governors, the people who are taking advantage of these rules, but how are they just confused? I mean, do they want this way of life? How have they gotten caught up into this? I'm wondering, Chris.
Well,
help me.
Some of both. When you look at somebody standing on the street corner holding up a protest sign, about global warming,
right,
who knows exactly what's really going through their mind? But the thing that Alinsky did, the thing if you read his book, how he framed the issues was to always find a way to put the leftist agenda on a moral high ground. Now, I got to add here that it was a phony moral high ground in every single case, but that's their goal, is to get there to where they're standing on some premise to where they look like these rays of sunshine, this hope for humanity. If you read the close of Alinsky's book, he talks about this beautiful future for the world and everything. And yet you look at what actually happens when this radical viewpoint that he embraced, when it actually gets into power, it's always exactly the opposite. You had the squalor and the deprivation of, the Soviet Union, the Cultural Revolution in China with this mass genocide that we can't even imagine. And these days we can look at Venezuela and see the squalor and the horrors that are going on there. And that's the reality of it. So they can't come out and put forth these things saying, this is what we really want to do to people in order to gain control and gain dominance. They'll never win with that. So they've got to create this phony moral high ground that any issue that comes out there, they're up there being as sanctimonious as they can possibly be in order to say they're there for the good of humanity. You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's there for the Green New Deal so we can all live in this Garden of Eden. It sounds good to the gullible. And if our side is hesitant to come out and say, hey, that's a lie, that's evil, that's an ulterior motive for a really vile agenda, if we don't do that because I don't want to sound, venomous, I don't want to sound hateful, I don't want to sound harsh or whatever. And what we end up doing is we soft pedal the reality, and they get away with promoting something that is truly dangerous on these real euphemistic terms.
What they're doing is they're convincing the people. The people are falling for it. Because I've got people who have been on programs on the network with me and people I've known over the years who are Democrats. And I'm saying that middle ground, the moderates, the independents, the blue dogs, that's become a very precious space right now because that's the space that's going to help win elections. But everything to the left of that has become what we're talking about right now. These are what I consider them un-American is the way I look at it, Chris, but that's my world. And I'm wondering with these people here that are being, based on what you just said, the premise you just put out there, that they're being convinced. So they're being, I guess, brainwashed for a better word, Chris, is what I would say, but they're being convinced that these little smoke and mirror games that they play so brilliantly that the radicals are just brilliant at. They throw stuff at it, like you said, with Kavanaugh and all these cases. There are so many cases like this where it never is about the problem. It's about what's the core of whatever the underlining of that deal is. You're right. It's the power that they're seeking. The people, the Americans that are in that left corner that embrace this, in your opinion, are these people, do they really understand? Do you believe, you may not know the answers, but do they understand the damage here that this could do in socializing America in this radical movement? Or do you think, or are they just, are they really low IQ people like AOC? I mean, are these the dumb people of America? I mean, that's maybe doesn't sound like a nice question.
Very valid question.
Okay, please.
First of all, let's go back to just look at the title of Alinsky's book.
Okay.
Okay, it was Rules, it wasn't Rules for the Mainstream. It was rules for radicals. How do you take a fringe and use that fringe to influence the mainstream? Okay, if it was rules for the majority, all you do is you get out there and you present your agenda. Everybody likes it. Next election, you vote for it and you're in.
But I think everybody needs to think of it in that way. He never hit it when he called the book what you just said. And of course, he died a year later. I mean, and now he's cemented in American history. I mean, we'll always be talking about this damn fool. But that's interesting. Why didn't he hide it? Why did he put it out there like that, you think?
Well, he was appealing to a following, and if you look at how he did it, he was going back to my initial premise here that only works on those who allow it. He was deliberately confrontational and outrageous. The dedication of his book was to Lucifer. And I don't personally believe that Alinsky was really a Satan worshiper. I think that was just a way of him being so obnoxious and so outlandish and such an affront that most of us would just look at it and gasp and say, oh my gosh, what a lunatic. And at that point, he's kind of going boo in our faces and we're backing up. And as far as how it appeals to people, there's two groups in there. There's the group that is just as vile and as agenda driven as he is. And then the crowd that, and this is why, again, he runs to his moral high ground on every issue. There's the crowd that's sitting in the middle and watching and listening, and they're trying to figure out what's the right thing to do. And when they see a bunch of these people, I don't care how radical they're actually in their real lives. I don't care how radical they're known to be. When they get up in front of the cameras on the nightly fake news and they look like they just care about you. And in response to that, your only rebuttal to them is, hey, I'm not the hateful person you say I am. I'm not really a bigot. I'm not just out for the rich. And instead of coming out and saying, hey, here's who you guys are, I'm trying to convince everybody here I'm not what you're saying I am. At that point, they're fighting an offensive war. We're fighting a defensive war. And the public is watching this and saying, well, hey, this group on the left over here, they're sure of what they believe and they're doing it for the good of humanity. And this group on the right over there, all they're doing is trying to, you know, defend themselves against these accusations. Maybe these accusations are real. We fight on that basis. We always lose.
Well, Chris, you are brilliant. You are smart.
Well, thank
man.
You.
You are brilliant. I mean, the points this is really important because the points that you're talking about are, they define exactly what's happening here. And people need to understand this, what's playing out here. I mean, that's so key to what you say there, to what we're all living and experiencing right now. There are 13 radical rules I mentioned here in the book that we're talking about here. I want to throw these at you, Chris. I isolated, okay. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, out of the 13 radical rules that I think are playing out right now on Main Street USA, and here they are. Number 5, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. Number 8, keep the pressure on. Number 9, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Number 11, if you push a negative hard and deep enough, it will break through into its counterside. And the last one, number 12, the five I'm choosing anyways, the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. So I'm looking at those five. To me, if I was to conjure up a recipe to really, you know, screw things up in America and pull the economy down and panic people and put them in their homes so they don't visit the parks and get out and see the blue sky, I would choose these five and I would throw a pandemic out there and really play. I'm not saying they created the pandemic, but that's not the point here, is it, Chris?
No, absolutely. You know, we're going to have to do some sort of postmortem on this situation and find out what happened as far as where the germs actually came from. And I mean the physical, biological germs. But that is actually secondary because the panic was contrived. The I've heard a person discussing this saying we have every sign of a massive plague on humanity except the dead bodies. And I'm not saying that we don't have people dying, but I'm saying these numbers are vastly overblown. As far as the rules that you mentioned, the power of mockery, and that goes back to the ability to say something about the opponent that puts them on the defensive. And again, if you respond to that in a defensive fashion, not only are you in a losing position, but you validate the attack. My rule number one for how to counteract these Alinsky rules, rule number one is to never, ever apologize unless you've actually done something wrong. And then you only apologize very specifically for what you did wrong. You don't apologize because somebody got offended. Because if you spoke the truth and they got offended, that's their problem. You had an obligation as an honest person to speak the truth.
Now, everybody knows what you just said. Donald Trump has executed that brilliantly, has he not?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, if I was to write a sequel, it would be about how Trump is reflexively immune to the Alinsky strategy.
I love it. I love it. Love it. Perfectly said.
With the state park and the church and the Tom Brady situation, again, these people do not really care. The pandemic is a great way for them to get on their phony moral high ground. The numbers, the social distancing and everything is showing that we don't have a clear connection between all of these draconian rules they've put on us and a lowering of the cases. It's playing out like a kind of a bad flu season. Despite their all of the panic that they, all the hysteria that they fanned in the first place, all of the things that they deliberately did to make us think there was a pandemic, it's playing out. You know, okay, we do need to be careful. Wash your hands. You know, don't go hugging people on a subway and stuff. But in the process, what they're doing is getting up on that phony moral perch and saying, we are the saviors of humanity. Now, they tried this with global warming for a long time. But as time elapses here and we're finding out that a lot of the days are passing that they said the world would have ended. It would have ended by 1997. It would have ended by 2000, by 2006. We'd all be burning up right now. New York City would be underwater. That never happened. Okay, so that's not working despite Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her Green New Deal that you know, we still need to do this because it's going to happen next year. Well, that's beginning to ring a little hollow. She's cried wolf a few too many times. So now this one comes along and it's a much shorter timetable and it is a lot scarier because we do have people getting sick and dying and it's kind of a weird bug. So maybe we can use this one. And the things that you're seeing, you know, you mentioned the skate park church and Tom Brady there. It's all about the left saying, we saved humanity by doing these things, by suppressing your rights, by shutting down churches, not mosques, but churches, by making everybody wear a mask. Not only are you somehow keeping the disease from being spread, but in reality, the thing that they like is that when you and I go to the Walmart, we see a picture painted all around us of there really is a pandemic, because if there wasn't really a pandemic, those people wouldn't be wearing those masks.
That is exactly right. We're speaking here with Chris Adamo. He's the author of Rules for Defeating Radicals, Countering the Alinsky Strategy in Politics and Culture. And I like the way he says politics and culture, because he's addressing everything, and he's absolutely right. It is politics and it is culture. I want to talk with Chris in just a bit here about Lucifer. I want to discuss something with him about Satan. And I also want to talk about Ben Carson a moment here and bring something else into the conversation as we talk more about these rules. But listen, that book we're talking about, by the way, Chris Adamo's book, is in the America Out Loud bookstore. You can get it right on Amazon. Of course, go right to Amazon and get it. His last name, A.D., as in Don, A-M-O. But it's also in our store for convenience. We always put our guest books in there, of our great guests, and all of our experts on the platform. All of those books are in that bookstore. We created that a few years ago. It's been a big success. And we do it to make it easy for everybody because it's got the best of the best. The creme de la creme of books are in the bookstore that you want to read and be informed and understand on all kinds of topics and subjects. So anyways, look up Chris's book in the bookstore. A-D-A-M-O, just type in, or Rules for Defeating Radicals, countering the Alinsky strategy in politics and culture. And of course, you could just put the word radicals in as well and should come up there. It is interesting how this all plays out. As you now, are you learning some things? I guess is the question I would ask you. I know I am. So I assume you are as well. There are some interesting things Chris has said. I mean, my antenna is absolutely upward, and I'm taking in what he's saying. It's become more apparent to me, people, and I'm assuming it's apparent to you as well, that we're in a fight of our lifetime. It's interesting how this pandemic came along at this time, isn't it? How coincidental do you think all that is? I like the way as well he said when you're in the stores, they want you to wear all those masks so you look like you have a pandemic. That's an interesting way, isn't it? You got to create the visual, people. Got to have the right visual. If you're going to get out there, you got to throw everybody out of the parks. Can't keep that green grass there. Got to throw the dirt in and kill the skateboard parks. And, you know, that's all part of the program, isn't it now, people? Can't be at church. Can't even be in your car listening to church. Now, is your antenna up as well, I wonder? How concerned are you? I'm damn well concerned for what's going on. But maybe this is the rude awakening we need to do to wake up the rest of America. Maybe this is really what we needed. Possibly. Maybe that's the right way to look at this. If you consider everything we've been through in the last 3.5 years with this president, maybe this is really the icing on the cake, the frosting, if you will, that allows us to tip the whole conversation over the way we want to.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
So I bring it back to 2016 at the Republican convention. It was the second night of the convention, and the primetime speaker was Ben Carson. And he was warning the attendees of the convention there, and the people who were watching it at home as well, that were listening to him speak, that the worst thing about Hillary Rodham Clinton was her ties to this community organizer, Saul Alinsky, or you could even say community organizer Barack Obama, but we're talking about Saul Alinsky today, right? His ties to that. Isn't that ironic? We'd say her ties to the former president, 44, Barack Obama. Interesting. Of course, you can't do that when you're running the Democrat ticket, can you now, huh? He gets on, he says, one of the things I have learned about Hillary Clinton is that one of her heroes, her mentors, was Saul Alinsky. Her senior thesis was about Saul Alinsky. This was something she greatly admired, and that affected all of her philosophy subsequently. And why is this bad? He asked the question, right? Well, Alinsky dedicated his book Rules for Radicals to none other than Lucifer. That's right, Satan himself. That's an interesting point, Chris. And joining us back here is Chris Adamo again, who wrote the book here that I've been telling you about. That was an interesting moment of time where Ben Carson did that. And I remember when he did that. Do you recall what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. And what needs to be understood about that, again, reiteration from before, is the fact that Alinsky, in all likelihood, was an atheist. He was a Marxist, and Marxists are just virulent atheists. So he probably did not actually believe that, but it was a good way for him to be aggressive with something that's so vile that that our reflexive response, our side, would be just to recoil in horror from it. Well, he's dominating the situation at that point. And so I really think that it wasn't a sincere belief. I don't believe he was an acting, practicing Satanist. Now, I could be totally wrong about that. I've been surprised before by just how low they sink. But whether or not he believed it, if you look at the actual principles that he was advancing, he might as well have been. Hillary might as well have been. Obama might as well have been. Because their agenda, regardless of what they claim, Obama at times claims to be a Christian. Regardless of what they claim, their agenda is 100% anti-Christian, 100% anti-Western civilization, and 100% anti-American.
Well, yeah, and you know, as proof, there are three really big points, I guess, Chris, I'd say, most important things that radicals have done with all of this. And the first one, and see if you agree with this, but the first one is to remove God from everything, right?
Absolutely. What you do, you know, it's when we say remove God from everything, their goal is to supplant real moral principle of right and wrong. Things like the Ten Commandments, things like honesty and decency, supplant that. They started in the 60s by saying, well, there is no right or wrong. That's just your opinion. Well, the minute our side backed away from that and granted them that ground, then they came back and they said, oh, no, there is right and wrong, and we're the ones who dictate it. You look at political correctness, and political correctness is a moral code. Now, it's a depraved, twisted moral code, but it is a set of absolutes that they inflict on you, that you can say this, you can't say that, and it's done from a perspective of inherent morality. And so once they establish the idea that God, the God of the Bible, the Jesus Christ, these things are not permissible in our society, and they did that by expanding on the First Amendment in a totally twisted way. Once they accomplish that, and we let them, then they come in and they supplant it with their own version.
The second of the three that I mentioned, Chris, is take over education completely from kindergarten, pre-K through college. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you look at, again, getting God out of our society. Where did they start doing that? They started doing that by taking prayer out of the public schools. You roll forward how many years from that, 50, 60 years from that, and they're teaching Islam in public schools. They're having kids study Islam and actually recite Islamic prayers of faith. And yet, if you say Merry Christmas to somebody, you're suddenly an affront to the Constitution.
These are three most important things, I believe, that radicals have done with their game plan here, I guess, for a better way, Chris. And the third thing is, see if you agree with this, is it's to take over the public narrative. So in other words, all the media, what I call the megaphone, control the megaphone and use it to push the radical agenda. That's the third biggest, most important thing the radicals have done. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And it's scary the degree to which they've done that, but there's a huge ray of sunshine in there. And this is, again, what we need to focus on is look at the Soviet Union at their peak, at the peak of the Cold War, when we had thousands of nuclear warheads pointed at them and submarines patrolling their coasts and everything. What they feared more than all of our military might, what they feared more than anything else, was printing presses in the hands of their own people. Because no matter how enormous your facade, your mantle of lies is, you get somebody out there speaking truth, and those lies can't prevail over the truth. And if citizens had printing presses, had the ability to speak the truth against the lies of the communist regime, it would crumble. And as a matter of fact, that's eventually what happened when they tried to loosen those things. And so it's a really ominous situation we're in right now, but it ought to also be something that really motivates us, that their facade, the leftist facade, the whole fake news facade with the Democrats on Capitol Hill and the Hollywood media all joining in, that thing is huge. So we can either be scared of it or recognize its Achilles heel, which is if we get out there and speak the truth, all these lies suddenly start to crumble. Only by silencing us completely, whether through you know, actually mass media silencing, or going back to Alinsky, convincing us to shut up.
Pandemics.
Only by doing those things will they limit. Absolutely.
They have got out of everything. They've hijacked education, and they have the megaphone to our world. They've already got two and three, and they got one as well. They've done a hell of a job with one. So now you see they're well on their way. That's the risk, and that's the danger we're dealing with here. Carson says, this is a nation where our Pledge of Allegiance says we are one nation under God. This is a nation where every coin in our pocket and every bill in our wallet says, in God we trust. So are we willing to elect someone as president who has as their role model somebody who acknowledges Lucifer? And she was speaking, he was speaking of Clinton, of course, and this was at the convention there. Fascinating how that plays in and how successful they've been at all of these distraction politics at all and all that have played out here. And in this latest round of the pandemic and what's going on, Chris, it is really, really alarming. When we talk about Americans who should be concerned or those who are paying attention right now to what's happened here, how aware do you think America is? Everything we're talking about today, if you were to take a guess at what percent of the country understands the importance of the conversation we're having, how many people would just blow it off? But are we 50%? Are we 20%? Are we 80%? What do you think it is?
Boy, I don't honestly know. I will say, obviously, there's a lot more people buying into the leftist agenda than you know, common sense would dictate. I mean, it's a suicide pact at best. One of the things about the Alinsky strategy is that in the long run, it is always doomed to failure. The analogy I use there is no cancer can ever outlive its host. And so Alinsky's strategy to remake America will ultimately fall into total ruin. The question is, will he take the rest of the country down with him? And that is where it's up to us. The things you describe, again, being enormous and so ominous, they are, and they are grave cause for concern. But even now, I would adamantly assert that the efforts can only work if we let them. If we let them silence us by telling us that, you know, okay, it's a pandemic and you're just wanting more people to die, or whatever premise by which they start grandstanding on their moral high ground, if we shut up at that point, we've ceded that ground.
Yeah. Let me talk to you about that coveted moral high ground a moment here. In your book, you say, Chris, it is imperative that leftists be properly characterized as the malignancy on American society that they are, since failing to do so allows them to engage in their most strategically indispensable ploy, which is to claim to be on the supposed moral high ground. So here is the deal, Chris. How do we do this when they have the megaphone to the people? As you say, they have the causes, they know how to deflect, they're brilliant at deflecting, the radicals are. We never really are talking about the real issues that matter. We're talking about these other deflective issues. Haven't they already outsmarted America, outsmarted the right?
In many ways they have. They wouldn't have gotten to this point if they hadn't. But the thing that we've got to go back to, and again, my discussion of the printing presses in the Soviet Union, their agenda is inherently fragile. Give you one little tiny example here, just to show you. If you listen to how they get all wound up when you refer to them as the Democrat Party, they want to be called the Democratic Party. Okay, and this is a junior high school level conversation. Their goal in calling themselves the Democratic Party is to describe themselves as a bunch of people who believe in democracy. See, we're just the people that believe in everybody gets a voice, et cetera, et cetera. You call them the Democrat Party and suddenly they become a little political circle who labels themselves as Democrats. And they literally worry about that. If you do that in a public forum, they'll call you out on that. Well, what does that show? It doesn't show this omniscient power that it looks like they wield over us. It shows a huge Achilles heel that only succeeds when our side backs down and lets them get away with it, whether it's what to call the party or how to frame any issue. If we let them frame the issue on their terms, They're on the moral high ground. You look at the border, you look at something that's so cut and dry as a nation protecting its sovereign borders. They can't talk about that. So what do? They start bringing up this nonsense about people in cages and how Trump is putting people in cages and separating families. Before long, our side is mired in this debate about humanitarian conditions and whether we're being as humanitarian as the leftists think we should be, which of course will never pass muster there. So we fight that defense and we lose, when what we should have been talking about is, no, this is our border. This is our national border. They don't have a right to invade our border. So in all of these situations, the battle is ours, even at this late date, to win or lose based on whether or not we engage them on their terms or ours.
Wow, that is so well said. Listen to what Chris says there. Their terms or our terms. And you know, Chris, I cannot believe, I'm really amazed that you brought up the example you just did about the IC and Democrat versus Democratic. And I will tell you why and end the thought on this process. If you go and look at any of the social media messaging that I personally send out, you'll notice I removed the IC from it some time ago, a long time ago. I refer to them always as the Democrat Party, never,
good man.
Ever the Democratic Party. And I'm amazed you just use that as an example, because even as editor-in-chief of America Out Loud, a lot of our writers don't know the example you just put out there, Chris, because it's not public knowledge. But I removed the IC from every one of those messages or articles out there, subliminally or not, because I do not believe they're Democratic, and I'm not going to give them that. And quite frankly, one other thing, Chris, I refer to them as the Socialist Democrat Party of America. And I have been doing that right along. It is not a new event. It is something I am doing routinely and have been doing. And it's important to mention that right here. And the fact that Chris brought it up is amazing. So Chris Adamo, you're listening to right here. This will not be the last time you hear him, I am certain, on the network. I'm very pleased to have him. And he speaks so well about all this. Obviously, he has studied this a great deal. You always invest a big part of your life when you write a book like this. You have to, if it's going to be a success, people. And so Chris is to be congratulated for that and for showcasing what needs to be said here, what needs to be said. And we need to pull the covers off, just like Trump has tried to do with the deep state in Washington. Chris is doing that with the radical movement with his book. I do it every day here on America Out Loud. So we are on the front lines, people. I need you to be on the front lines as well to help us on the journey ahead. Not one or two people can do this. This is a heavy lift, by the way. Heavy, heavy lift. And so we need everybody. Get involved, get loud. When I say that, it means don't stay on the sidelines. For God's sakes, get involved in the game, please. Understand the stakes. Understand what's going on. Invite your friends that are independents and moderates, blue dogs, to the show here, please. Those are the people I'm trying to get to. The independents, the moderates, the blue dogs, who can be convinced that there is still a great America, a shining city on a hill, and we want to secure that future here. Those are the people we need. We're not going to get to the socialist communists. They're not going to tune in to the Voice of a Nation or listen to Malcolm, I assure you. But that's okay. There's more of us than there are them. The book is called Rules for Defeat and Radicals, Countering the Alinsky Strategy in Politics and Culture. It is a must read. Go to Amazon and get the book, or go to America Out Loud Bookstore, which will connect you to the place to buy the book if you like. And definitely get the book and read the book and digest it. We will certainly have Chris back. He's got a lot of information and a lot of knowledge with his 10 rules for defeating radicals. Obviously, a lot more to talk about there, friends. Listen, as always, I thank you for being here and being part of the journey here with me on the Voice of a Nation here. And now it's time to get involved and get loud.